Bibles, please, for our first reading to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. When the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure, astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have talked extensively about this first parable, or this first circumstance that Jesus undergoes here with the scribes and Pharisees, in that his detractors have watched him and his disciples eat, and they don't wash right. They just haven't figured out how to obey their fathers yet. Their fathers taught them that if they were going to eat in such a way so as not to contract uncleanness, not only would it be that they would eat food that was only only clean foods as described in the law of Moses, but they must also wash themselves in a particular way before they eat that food so that they don't contract uncleanness. And so the Pharisees and scribes come to Christ and his disciples, and they accuse him not of violating the law of Moses, but of not keeping the fifth commandment, in that they have set at naught the teaching of their fathers in the faith. That's essentially the complaint. Jesus goes on, as we have before unraveled, unpacked, he goes on. That is why Jesus chooses the fifth commandment to reply to them. If you want to talk about the fifth commandment, Jesus says, we can have that conversation. And the conversation is this: that you have set aside the commandment of God by your tradition. You claim to be keeping the fifth commandment. In actuality, you are violating the fifth commandment because you have built up man-made traditions. And the rule is, the pattern is, man-made traditions always push out the commandment of God. That's how it works. Now, we spoke about these things when we spoke about liberty of conscience. We spoke about these things when we spoke about the Sabbath day. There are all kinds of things that come up in our day that push out the Sabbath day. There are all kinds of things that come up, even with regard to the fifth commandment, that assault the fourth commandment. Some of you may have heard about these, I call them Hallmark holidays. You know why they're called Hallmark holidays? Because the only people that profit from them are Hallmark when you buy their cards. Now, I'm plenty happy with all of you honoring your father and your mother, keeping the fifth commandment. But we must remember, and there's a sermon brewing here, I'm certain of it, there's a sermon brewing here, that in order to honor our father and mother, we cannot dishonor God. Because when we honor our father and mother, we must do so in such a way that they are understanding that we are honoring God in honoring them. It's like one of my old teachers said, and although I never met him in person, I consider him one of my old teachers. Not that I agree with everything he ever said, but Dr. Francis Nigel Lee said this. He said, when we love our wives, that is, that we love the Lord, and then we obey him to love our wives. If we're loving our wives apart from loving the Lord, then we are making them idols, and we're sinning against the Lord and against our wives. Now, the same thing is true with the Hallmark holidays that are fixing to come up this spring, Mother's Day and Father's Day. Now, my children understand, I don't want any gifts on the Lord's Day. You want to be nice to your father and honor your father, bring me a gift for Father's Day, fine. But don't do it on the Lord's Day. That's God's day. And we want to honor our Father, our true Father, and honoring him rightly, then we honor him by by treating rightly all these other authorities that he's given us for our good. I'm plenty happy with you honoring your fathers and your mothers. I want you to obey them. I want you to honor them. I want you to speak to them kindly. Even get them a gift around that time of year. There's nothing wrong with that. But we must not let the man-made tradition push out the commandment of God. It did so here, and it does so in our day. Some churches even have given themselves over to these things. And yeah, I'm on a little bit of a tear right now. I know. I got this thing in the mail this week. There's a church in this locality that is doing a 10,000 Easter egg hunt on Easter. And they want everybody to come and get their Easter eggs. Unbelievable. How far have we come from recognizing that the man-made traditions always push out the commandment of God? Brothers and sisters, this cannot be among us. The Lord's Day, it belongs to the Lord. Let me just give you one little nugget to hold on to. The word honor in the fifth commandment. And I'm okay here because Jesus is talking about the fifth commandment. I haven't gone too far afield yet. The word honor in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word kaved. The noun version of that word is kavod. It means to give glory unto, to honor. Now, when the Lord would speak to how we treat him on the Sabbath day in Isaiah 58, he uses the word kaved. If thou wilt call the Sabbath a delight and honor him, that is, glorify him, not doing your own things, not speaking your own words, not exacting your own labors, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. Kaved, 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 all the way through. If we're going to honor our parents, we cannot honor our parents by dishonoring our Father in heaven. We can't do it. We may say we are, and we may jump up and down and insist on it. But if we're taking our clues and our cues and our direction from the counsels and commands of Holy Scripture, we won't. We won't. We'll honor the Lord on his day. And we'll honor our parents rightly. And any parent, brothers and sisters, including this one, if I stand up on Monday after the Hallmark holiday of Father's Day, and I stick my lip out and say, my children didn't get me a gift for Father's Day, I hope that one of you has the sense enough to get a hammer and hit me with it. Because that would be the worst thing that I could do for you. All right, I'm off the tear. Back to the passage. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is exactly what Jesus means here. Now, the instance here is washing. The instance we just talked about is the keeping of the Sabbath. But there are many other instances where the doctrines and commandments of men push out the commandment of God such that we begin to worship the laws that we want, to keep the laws that we have substituted and called holy. And this cannot obtain among us. This is why we must keep close to the word of the Lord. And it's why we as a congregation proclaim the law of God every Lord's Day, reminding and refreshing us to keep these things and to push out the Hallmark holidays and all other doctrines and accretions of men that push out the doctrines and worship of God. All right, so then verses 14 through 23, we talk about how someone is truly defiled. They're not defiled because they haven't washed their hands from the wrist down to the pinky. That's not how it happens. Jesus says what defiles is not what goes in, but what comes out. Because what comes out reveals the heart. And if the heart is defiled, the mouth will be defiled as well. The actions will be defiled as well. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to keep close watch upon our heart. Keeping watch upon our heart will keep watch upon our lips and will keep watch upon our hands and our feet and what we do. And so we must guard what goes in so that it does not go into the heart. Notice Jesus says, foods go into the belly and are washed out. Ideas, concepts, false doctrines, evil communications, they go into the heart. And that's what defiles. And so we must be very careful. All of those associations, we must be very careful. All of those thought forms and world views, all of those things that we set before our eyes and our ears and so on, that we should be tempted to give them root in our hearts and then be defiled. This is what Jesus is talking about. And that's what defilement is. And the church under age in the Old Testament was given clean and unclean foods so that they might learn that particular concept. Not that they might forever stay away from foods, because as this passage most clearly says, what Jesus spoke purged all meats, purged all foods. And yes, there are those even within Reformed circles today that tell us that, for instance, pork is not something God made for food. Shellfish is not something God made for food. That's wrong. The Apostle Paul handles that with Timothy, doesn't he? And when we get to that passage, we will handle it at that time. What we do with food is we do what? We receive it with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word and prayer. That's what Jesus says through his Apostle Paul. All right, so the next section then is the Syrophoenician woman, the Gentile woman that has the audacity to approach Christ. She has the audacity. Not only is she a woman, she's a Gentile woman. And in that day, that was simply societal taboo. It wasn't done. Why would a woman like that, that kind of woman, approach Christ? Why? Because of her faith. Because she believed in him as Messiah and could not be held back by societal taboos. Notice how she turned away from all of those societal forces and peer pressures that would have told her, you cannot go to Christ. And she went. Now, what did she find when she got there? Did she find a ready and willing? Did she find a comfortable answer? Did she find a seeker-friendly answer from Christ when she came? She did not. As a matter of fact, Christ's word to her was very hard, was it not? It is not fit to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Woof, woof. That's a pretty tough thing. That's a pretty tough thing to hear. As a woman and a Gentile woman at that Jesus would say to her, you're more akin to a dog than a child of mine. Many people would have stopped right there. That had been enough for them. In fact, we hear this today, don't we? Well, that pastor, he spoke to me, or that elder, or those people at that church, they weren't kind to me, and so I left. What kept this woman around? Her faith. That when Jesus spoke, that it would be done. That he had power. That he was God Almighty. That he could heal her daughter. Many folks believe that they have all of the healing that they already need. And so when someone doesn't treat them right, when they don't like the cut of their jib, they're free to leave. He wasn't nice to me. He didn't answer me in the way I was expecting. He didn't tailor the message to me. Not this woman. Oh, for that kind of faith. Oh, for that kind of faith that would catch on, that would catch hold of a Savior that presents himself as unwilling as a trial. Oh, to pass that kind of a trial and to refuse to be sent away without a blessing, like Jacob of old. And so we see in this woman then that requisite humility. She was not so concerned about her person. She was not so concerned about her reputation. She was not so concerned about her comfort. that she could be kept from Christ. This is the kind of people that come to Christ, that will not be sent away for anything, even a seemingly rough answer. Yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the children's table. If I could but have a crumb, that would be enough for me. And so what a great example this woman is of humility and of understanding the worth of things. A crumb from Christ is better than all the reputation in the world. Is it not? What an amazing passage. All right, so then in this final section, oh, by the way, her daughter was healed. She got what she came for. But she got more than she came for, right? She got an assurance that she had faith in Christ. So verse 31 to the end of the chapter then, now he is moving over toward Tyre and Sidon. So he's leaving the environs around the Sea of Galilee, moving more toward the coast, still in the north of the Mediterranean Sea. And so they bring to him one that is deaf and has a speech impediment. Those two often go together, don't they? Now, this is one of those very interesting passages where Jesus does a couple of things in the process of this man's healing. Notice that just before that, the daughter of the woman who was needing healing was not even in the scene. Jesus simply said, "Go your way, your daughter's healed." That was it. In this instance, Jesus does something completely different. He puts his fingers in the man's ear. He takes some spittle off of his tongue and puts it on his tongue. And theologians have puzzled over those things for a long, long time as to why Jesus would do something like that. Well, first of all, we understand that deafness and not being able to speak forth without impediment is, while this is a true historical circumstance, it is also metaphorical for having ears that are stopped to God's word and a tongue unable to express his praise, to speak rightly, because we're sinners. And so whenever we see someone deaf and dumb in the scriptures, and children, dumb doesn't mean their mind doesn't work right. Dumb simply means they're not able to speak. We still use that language that way, but not as often as we used to. So he's deaf, he can't hear, and he's dumb, he can't speak. We are to understand that metaphorically as well as historically and circumstantially, that it is a metaphor for having our ears stopped up to the word of God and our tongue held from giving praise, from calling out upon the name of God. And so here we have then Jesus putting his fingers in his ears and touching. And so we have the first thing is that Jesus is the one who opens our ears, and he is the one who looses our tongues. And so perhaps there is something of Jesus showing that he is the one that does that. But he could have done that simply by saying it without rather doing these physical manipulations. Some have said that Jesus was acting like a doctor here. Well, that's silly. This is not the work of a physician here. This is the word of the great and miraculous healer, the great physician, Jesus Christ. And so what some have said, and this is where my opinion falls down, I think, most heartily, is that in order to avoid any kind of mindset in his disciples of incantation, pattern, rote, magic, spells, anything like that, what Jesus did was he used all different kinds of methods. He did all kinds of different things so that people would understand, his disciples especially, would understand that it was not dependent on any particular action, any particular superstitious manipulation. I told you about the fisherman that I saw out on the river one day. He's casting, and then blink, the lure hits the water, and then he goes like this. And then he starts reeling. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never seen that technique before. So we were sitting there for an hour or so, both of us fishing. He was doing that, I wasn't. And so I walked over to him after a while, and I said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Well, you know, one time I caught a fish doing that. And so I do that every time." Fishermen are like that. You hear that from time to time, you know. How'd you do today? Well, it didn't do very well. Oh, you didn't hold your mouth right. You hear all kinds of things like that, right? And so what Jesus does in that portion of his ministry that is miraculous, he doesn't do the same thing every time so that he might avoid giving the impression of, well, this is a kind of manipulation, and if anybody does these movements in this way, they can have the same kind of power. And so I think that's as good as an explanation as any, aside from also this one, that Jesus is showing that he can do things in any, you know, by any means that he chooses. So between those two things, I think that's where the answer lies. All right, so then straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And so we see, once again, that full and complete healing. Now, when we get to the next chapter, we're going to see healing in two stages. How interesting. Why, when Jesus is certainly able in every circumstance to bring someone from zero to full health with a word, why all these different manipulations? And I think it's the same answer for the next chapter as we have here, so that we would avoid any kind of superstition and that we would praise the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading then of Mark chapter 7. Let's stand and call upon the